Good afternoon. It's a rainy afternoon here at Tears and Tequila Talks with the one and only dynamo, Christina Rasmussen. Hi, Christina.
Hi, Linda.
How much is it raining up by you?
It's raining. It's been raining all day long. And just as you said, how is it? The sun ray just hit my office.
No, you're kidding.
Yeah, seriously. I think it's your voice in my office.
Well, let's put your voice into my office here because it's pouring here, and there's a little tiny leak in my roof right here in the office. So I think we should put you in here and see if we can get some sun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, well, it's so good to talk with you again, Christina. I want to tell our listeners that you and I met, Christina, 3 weeks ago, maybe? We met in Oakland, where I had the great pleasure of having Christina at a book signing we did at Diesel. And then we went out and had dinner and could not stop talking because we have a great deal to say to one another. And I want everyone to know that this woman, Christina Rasmussen, is not only a best-selling author of the book Second First, she's a speaker and she's a philanthropist whose life mission is to help people change the way they live after loss. And this is a person who doesn't just talk the talk. Christina, you're a woman who walks the walk, and I am endlessly impressed with not only your accomplishments, but your heart. Such a beautiful, open heart. So I want you to know that. I know that you are currently launching ever new enterprises, and I would love it if you would talk a little bit. Well, if you want to talk about where you came from, I know about it. Would you like to tell your story? Do you want me to summarize it for you?
I can say a few words. I always say this. I used to be a grief therapist. I was trained in England. I did my master's in counseling psychology, and I did my thesis on the stages of bereavement. And then I experienced a couple of really tough losses, and I lost my first newborn daughter. As soon as she was born, she died. And then just a few years later, my 35-year-old husband died of colon cancer. And Linda, I was not only sad, I was angry, I was bitter, I was insane. I thought, life is so unfair, why me? Why is this happening to me? And then all of my education and all of my training and learning about grief, I wasn't able to use it at all. And of course, it's like a heart surgeon operating on themselves, it doesn't work. But I felt in that moment in time that if I was ever to go back and re-enter life again, and I felt alive again, I promised myself to go back and get everyone else. And about four and a half years ago, I resigned from my corporate job that was paying the bills to, I was a single mom, so I had to pay the bills, and I was grieving too much in the beginning to do the grief work. So I went, got another postgraduate degree in business, went in a big pharmaceutical company and became a business partner there. And then I resigned in 2010 and told them I am now ready to go and follow my dreams and passion. They did think I was a little crazy. and, you know, for everyone who's listening, you know, when we go and follow our dreams, most people will not see what we see, the vision. So I believe that I could do something special. Of course, I didn't know, and I was very afraid. And slowly, I founded Second First in the middle of the night when I couldn't find the domain name or Chapter 2 community or something simple like that. And, you know, that was taken, and I was like, Chapter 2, Second Chapter, Chapter 2 Community Chapter, you know. And I was, you know, your brain gets stuck in one way, and then all of a sudden, for some reason, I don't even remember how it came and hit me in my head the way it did. And Second First was born, and I took one step after the other and slowly created this bridge to go back to get millions of people and help them live again after loss. So I am on year 5 after a book launch last year. I'm also in the process of creating an accredited program for my reentry and building a nonprofit from scratch with Linda. From all the things that I do every single day, that is the most challenging one. But I am not giving up, and I'm going to make it happen. And one day we're going to have millions of life starters. That's what I call it, the life starters. Millions of life starters in this amazing virtual community that are going to be helping each other start and re-enter life after loss.
Well, as if that wasn't enough, right?
Yeah.
You know, clearly you are a woman with big dreams, and I love that. And I have been following my own dreams for many years in the world of entertainment mostly, but usually entertainment that has some meaning, like Tears and Tequila and some of the movies that I made. One was about hunger in America, and one was about a woman who was obsessed with who had to heal herself before she could have a successful marriage, and she married a womanizer who accused her. Yeah, exactly. Who accused her of being nuts, and she had to find her way back to healing. So that seems to be kind of my obsession, is trying to make sure that whatever I put out into the world has some sort of power and truth and can help people. And so, you know, Christina, you and I came together we met through Tears and Tequila, and the fact that we are working on making Tears and Tequila get on the air, either TV or film, so that there can be some kind of movie or show about people who come back from grief, which is, of course, our mutual passion here. And so you and I want to work together on this, and with our combined dreams and energy, it'll probably happen.
I hope so. And, you know, there's so much media out there and TV about grief, and I really think it's still done in such a stereotypical and traditional way, and there's so much to learn about how to recover, how to rebuild, how to re-enter life after loss. And I think your book has absolutely made it into, however traumatic and catastrophic the event were in the book, I think it made it into a positive rebirth. And that's what I loved about your book, Linda. I loved it.
Yeah, thank you, Christina. And that's where you and I, that's where we meet, because that is your focus. And I love that that's your focus, that there is life after loss, that it isn't the old stereotype that, you know, as you have said, it's not time heals all wounds or you never recover from loss. It's that there is a new life, and it's a different life after loss, and it's possible, and you have to take these steps to make it so.
Linda, I would have said no to you if I didn't feel the material connected with my mission, because there's so much out there that still lives in the past, so much out there that promotes the stereotypes and the myths, and you know, grief lasts forever. And I know I have received emails from wonderful folks who said, like, Christina, how do you recover from the loss of your child? Christina, how do you, you know, and there's a distinction between, you know, I'm not saying forget. I am not saying stop crying.
Right.
I am saying dance with life while you're dancing with grief. Or there has
I love
to be
that.
A tangle. There has to be, you know, an integration. People who used to say to me, it's going to take you. And I mean, when my husband died, people said to me, oh, Christina, you know, you're just going to have to just wait. And that's why I call the waiting room, you know, that I talk about that. And you're going to have to wait and wait and wait until maybe 2 or 3 years down the road you'll start to feel better, and then life can change, maybe. And I said, waiting in this pain, waiting in this sorrow? I mean, are you talking about torture? What is
it? Yeah.
And people say, oh, are you asking us to run away from our pain? And you know, and I'm like, no, I'm asking you to, and I call it the plug-in, just 5%, the small steps. Every day, just take a small step into life, whether it's like changing the color of your wall or changing your hair or buying a nice new dress. That's life. That is, it's just, or saying hi to your neighbor. Like, it doesn't have to be a big, kind of a big, huge goal. You have to think about life, because life doesn't just go away because someone died or because you got divorced. Life is right next to you. It's outside of the door waiting for you to go out there and grab it.
Right. You know, what's so interesting hearing you talk, Christina, as it happens last night, I'm a member of a group of women who were all the daughters of Holocaust survivors.
Oh, wow.
And, and last night they threw me a party for Tears and Tequila and, you know, celebrated my accomplishment in getting that done. And I was talking with these women about the fact that we were born, we all carry the DNA of grief because we were all born to mothers who had... Most of them had lost their entire families, maybe only 10 years before they bore us. And so I always say that I grew up in a house of silent mourning because no one talked about what happens to my grandparents.
It's like a ghost in a house. It's like you live with a ghost, Lina, like a ghost.
Exactly.
Grief, you know? And I remember meeting you 3 weeks ago in Oakland, and I remember saying, this is in your DNA, Linda. This is in your genes, in your genetic makeup, and that's why you're perfect for this. And I have chills, by the way. I have chills, goosebumps saying this to you right now, and I think I did when I first met you as well. And
I know. Me too.
You know, it's you and your energy, and you know, I read energy. Your energy is so light, even though you were born in this grief kind of atmosphere, and we need your energy in the way that it is because it's about your energy is about life, Linda. You have a lively energy.
I'm so grateful, Christina, and we are definitely soul sisters for sure. And there's something I haven't said before, and that is this: my mother, who lost her whole family, my mother became an artist, and she painted her way out of her grief. And I have a studio in the backyard that you're going to come to, Christina, because we must meet here. And in that studio are all of my mother's paintings that I inherited she passed away. And her paintings are all full of life. So I actually, although I grew up in a house full of ghosts, I watched my mother reclaim life and eat life every day. And I watched her live joyously. And I think that had a huge effect on me. The two things had a huge effect on me. Yeah.
And you're an artist yourself in so many ways, Linda, because of that. You have created with words, with music, right? You have created all of your life. You have created your particular. You are a creator. You are a creator of life, and that's what comes through. And everyone who's listening, every single person who's listening to this interview is also a creator of life, no matter how much loss they've experienced. You can give me the worst story possible, right? But the most catastrophic event, you know, I spoke to this woman who lost three children in one car accident, right? Give me that. Give me the worst, Linda. And I believe the soul and the human being is able to come back. It is not easy. I know. That's one thing. It is not easy. But I know it's possible. Just like your mother went and painted and created. Just like you created all of your life the way you have. And the way you
And you too. Living. Yes. You know what a phenomenal example you are to people who are either stuck in the waiting room or, you know, or even, I guess stuck in the waiting room would probably be the most common way to say it. I know of this, I'm thinking of someone who lost his wife 5 years ago and cannot come back, cannot come back. And I often feel so helpless in trying to help this person to say,
you know, you're still young and life goes on. And you're not, you don't have to feel guilty if you're moving on. So, you know, I gave him your book. That was my best hope. Is here's a book, read this. And short of that, here's Christina's website and look at her, watch her, listen to her passion.
And you know, Linda, I learned throughout the 5 years that I've been in this that there will be some people that we will not be able to help. And not because they cannot be helped, but because people identify with grief sometimes more than they identify with life. And drama and pain has actually a bigger magnet center. I mean, it's like it's amazing what happens. And so when someone identifies so much with their grief, they're actually not able to identify with life again because it's all about the loss. It's all about who they lost and what happened to them after they lost it. And some people will die there in that way. I said that the waiting room has actually a lot of grades. And I know it sounds very morbid, but, you know, I say it with lively words. There are many deaths in the waiting room because for two reasons. Number one, they didn't know the waiting room was a waiting room. They thought it was their second chapter, and they were supposed to be very thankful. They didn't know this was the space in between two lives, the life they left behind and the life they're yet to experience. So they're stuck there thinking that's their life. And because nobody was able to go and say to them, no, this is not your life. This is just a waiting space because the society around you has told you you're gonna suffer from that forever. You're going to grieve forever. You're never going to be able to feel alive again. And then you believe that. It's like a placebo, you know. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy in that. And it's like they're hypnotized. And I have children. They're in there, right? And then imagine if someone walks in that room, let's say you and I go in there and say, no, this is not your second chapter. Your second chapter is waiting outside. Let's take a small step. Let's go buy some flowers. Let's go paint a painting. Let's plant a flower. You know, like there's just these little things and then go in and out of the waiting room and you can taste life and then come back and rest. Because when we taste life after loss, the fear center in our brain gets activated and sense fear in our body, and then we are afraid.
Right.
So it's not the grief many times that stops us, but it's the fear of losing more.
Right. Well, people have a comfort zone, I think, in living smaller. I think that people become comfortable living smaller, not taking the steps, not busting out. I think there's always so much fear, as you say, in doing that. And to them, I think it looks enormous and it looks undoable, whereas to you, it clearly is doable, and you are reaching your hand out to say, take my hand and I'll go with you, which is so beautiful. But I agree, not everyone can do that. And so what do you do then, Christina, when you encounter people who are like that, besides feel frustrated and sad? What do you do?
You know, Linda, I have to say that I want everyone to get out of that waiting room. I want everyone. Billions of people. I want everyone. Unfortunately, the one truth that I cannot change is that, you know, no matter what I do and say and show, and here's the steps, and here's the book, and here's the program, and here's the reentry, and here's the nonprofit, here's the professionals, you know, all that stuff, the life force is actually inside their body, okay?
Yeah.
So that life force is there. And it could be a small, like, flicker, like a little light. If the life force wasn't there, they would be dead. They would not be alive right now. So I am certain there's a life force in there. And they have to want to find it. They have to want to stop putting obstacles in front of them. They have to. And the only way forward will be that they have to take a very small step. And if I can convince them to take that very small step and they find out the world didn't come to an end, it wasn't terrible, it wasn't as painful as I thought, then they can be convinced to take another step. And then slowly, like this is very slow, we can slowly get them back. But like I said, there will be people who won't make it. And I have to be okay with that. You have to be okay with that.
Right.
And that's their karma. That's their way. And,
right.
You know, people
right.
say, it's not my fault that, I've heard everything. I've had people say to me, it's because I love my child so much. It's because I love my husband so much that I'm grieving and you're not. It's because of the love. Do not measure your love with grief. Like, this has nothing to do with how much you love them. It has nothing to do with that. Grief is not a, you don't match, you know, okay, I love them 100%, therefore I'm going to be grieving forever. Or if I didn't love them, then I can move on and marry someone else. It is not like that. And then the other thing that I hear a lot is that people tell me all the time, not all the time, but I hear it, that I'm young. And now, because I'm young and lucky and I had opportunities, I could start again. Let me tell you, you have nothing to do with it. Being 75, 80-year-old, 85-year-old people going back to school, having sex again, and since we can talk about anything and everything here, Linda, right?
No problem.
They try again, however old they are. And I have seen young people taking their life because their brain was not wise enough, was not able enough to contain all this grief. I have seen 16-year-old kids hanging themselves. And I keep telling me that their grief about being bullied is smaller than your grief for losing your husband after 40 years together. No.
Right.
They didn't make it, Linda.
Right.
And they did not make it because of their youth. So I'm too passionate about this because age has nothing to do with it. It's all about the pain. It's all about the absence and the insanity that where did they go? Where have they gone? They died. What is that? It's crazy. And we're not prepared to deal with it, period.
Yeah. No, I hear you, and I know what you're saying, and I've heard it myself from so many people.
Right? Yes.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, when my mother died 7 years ago, and I went into tremendous grief about that,
and
I honored that grief so completely. I did ceremonies in her apartment before I closed it down.
I left her
favorite flowers of lilacs on the windowsill, and, you know, I was crying and crying, and I thanked the light switches for giving her light. And I literally went into some sort of space. And then I came back here to California, and all of her paintings came out here, and I built a studio that honors my mother, and it's where I work. It's called the Temple of Creativity now.
Oh my
it's
God,
where
I love
I teach. It's where I write. And I took a year. I took a year of honoring my mother's memory. Not I didn't plan it that way, but that's kind of what it took for me. And when it was over, it was over. And I was ready to say, and now we dance, and now we sing, and we remember, and we love. And we feel inspired by these people, but we don't mourn. It's not necessary to stay in that state anymore. So
Linda, you said something so important. You work in her studio, you said, right?
Exactly.
And you're creating life in her presence in a way. And for me, remembering is not grieving. Like, people say to me, I'm afraid I'm going to forget. And I say, you don't have to cry to remember.
Exactly. Well, because what you're doing and what I'm doing are creating new life.
Yes.
And that's what we're doing. And that remembers, that's inspired by the losses that we've both been through. And that's the best way, in my opinion, to move on into, as you would call, second first, a new life.
I think the world is ready. I think the world is ready, Linda, to be in this place. And, you know, I was reading, you know, I love to read physics and different universes and all that stuff. And I was thinking, what if we actually don't die? And the loss is that we don't get to be with them anymore. That the soul goes and has another life somewhere else. You know, that the consciousness is present somewhere else. Would that make grief less? I don't think it would, because we lose them from this consciousness. We lose them from this experience, and the grief will be big enough that imagine if they're somewhere else and they're living
right.
a different, but whether it's heaven, whether it's a different, they're born somewhere else, whatever. I mean, I don't want to go into religion at all, but there's a lot of different beliefs. But I hope they are. I hope they're somewhere having fun. Your mother is standing. My husband is creating things that, you know, that all the Holocaust, you know, victims are in a beautiful garden somewhere. You know, I want to believe in that. But that doesn't change how we feel about our everyday existence, that we don't have these people with us anymore. So
It's very true.
You know, your work and my work and all the work we're going to create in the future has to do with making sure that millions of people believe that they can live again after loss, that loss is a transformational experience, that loss goes deep into your soul and gives you a different dimension of life. Because without what I've been through, I wouldn't be who I am today, Linda. I would not be here talking to you. No.
You would not. And you know, Christina, neither would I. Without having been born into the environment I was born into, which was this silent mourning, I wouldn't be who I am. And I wouldn't be impassioned about the need for talking about grief, because my household was one in which it wasn't spoken of. And so we have the same mission. My mission is making sure that grief can find a voice and has a voice, and that everyone can speak that language. It's available to everyone, because everyone has lost. Whether you've had someone die I spoke to a friend this morning who's in the middle of a divorce. Well, she's experiencing tremendous loss. I spoke to a woman last night who's about to undergo a double mastectomy. She's experiencing loss. I have a granddaughter who lives in Bali. She lives very far away from me. And every time we say goodbye to one another, I know it's going to be a while before we're physically together. But
she's growing, and you're not seeing, like, there's so many losses in that experience.
It's loss. I've lived with that for 6 years with this little girl. And you know what, Christina? She and I are probably the two closest people in the world.
And every time we see one another,
it all comes flooding back, and it's as though we were never apart.
You're connected.
So I understand that you can be connected without having your physical body connected with someone else. Your consciousness is connected, and that's how you and I are. I could tell that the first time I met you, it was like, well, we've known each other before. There's no question about this. And we can't stop talking.
No, it's amazing.
And I think a lot of people feel that way about you.
Well, I think, and for you too, Linda, and I think, you know, grief actually is an umbrella for so many topics. We can say life is short, or life goes by really quickly. And I've learned, because of my losses, to only spend time with the people I adore. Not just like, life is not enough. Yeah, okay, you're nice. No, I want to spend time with people I adore. That when I'm with them, my energy goes higher. When I'm with them, I get inspired. And when I'm with them, they are inspired. That we are creating the connection we have, Linda, together. And I don't want to have people in my life anymore that do not add to it. And I do not add to theirs. It has to be like this. Any problem, any issues, it's not that people say, don't you want to fight for the people you love? And I'm like, I don't want to fight at all. I don't want to fight, Linda, right? I want to have a peaceful, calm, creative life where I get to help other people, period. And my kids, and be with my kids.
You know, and that circles around to something you and I were talking about this morning, which is, how do we balance?
Mm-hmm.
And I have been juggling this one for a very long time.
Yes.
How do we balance accomplishing our dreams with having enough time for our beloved family and friends and time for ourselves? And, you know, I would love to bat this around with you, because it's a constant question for me of giving enough time for everything. And I know that while I was writing this book, for example, which it took a period of 5 years, not constantly, but, you know, over a period of 5 years, it grew into something more, it constantly grew, and it changed, as I changed. And so there were a lot of people I said no to during those years. A lot of social occasions I said, I can't. I'm on a deadline. I have to finish this. My kids and my, you know, my kids, I would be, they'd be in the house and I'd say, I have to go out to the studio because I have to finish this. So I said no to them a lot. And what's really amazing to me is that nobody left. No friends dumped me. My kids weren't resentful. My husband wasn't resentful. Everyone said, okay. You know, and I guess I learned that there's enough of me to go around. But it is feels to me like a constant juggling act. And especially you. I have never seen anyone who's as much of a dynamo as you. If you get an email, you answer it in 5 minutes. If you get a Facebook thing, you're, I've never seen anything like this. So here's my question, Ms. Dynamo. How do you balance your beautiful life with your beautiful dreams?
Oh, my God. You know, so this is what I think. And I've thought of this, right? I have thought of it. I think our brain expands, and it gets faster and faster. So the things that I can accomplish today, there is no way I could have accomplished 5 years ago. And as I grew, the way I have grown, my brain is faster. It is faster. So I can so I've been on the phone literally all day today. I've been on, I had interviews for the nonprofit. I have a client. I mean, I've been on the phone or Skype, actually. I Skype mostly everyone. So I like to see people. So you get the whole of me. I'm completely immersed in the conversation. So I go. And then between these calls, I go on Facebook. I see comments. I respond. I like. I share. And they happen so fast. But I have to admit that I am tired. Okay, I have to admit that I am actually tired. I'm tired, I'm tired. So the way that I'm learning, because I'm not there yet, because I like to be honest. The way I'm learning not to burn myself out because my brain wants to go faster than my body right now is that I have to shut down. So I need to sleep. I need to paint. I love to paint. I painted all Saturday. I add meditation in my life. I meditate for 20 minutes in the morning and 20 minutes at night, and I've been doing it now for 2 months. And I like to walk. We live in California. It's a beautiful place. I like to look at the mountain. We have an amazing. It's the simplest thing for me. Like, I don't need a big grand thing to happen to make me happy. I drive to my house and I look at the red tree that is in front, and I admire the tree. I look at the flowers. I look at, you know, my kids' eyes and look how they grow. And it's just all these things that make me really, really happy every day. And then I also, I had a bit of an off day yesterday, but normally I am experiencing this happiness that is happening all the time. Imagine I was experiencing grief for many years, right? So I have experienced the depths of sorrow, and I was on the floor crying nearly every day. So I've experienced devastating years, and it was just black, and it was horrible. Yeah. And now for the last, I would say, 4 or 5 years, I'm feeling this calm and peace. The only thing that I've not mastered is time. I have not mastered time, and time is the most precious thing for me, much more than money it will ever be. Time. I don't give my time away very easily, Linda. I will say a lot of no's, so I say no. Even the someone last week, I was on vacation in New Mexico, you know, and someone really, really important in a different, a year ago would have jumped on the phone immediately. Someone really important reached out and said, I need to talk to you today. And I said, I can't. And I had the whole day to talk to them, but I was with my family. And I said, it cannot be today. And this person, let me tell you, was like a dream come true experience, Linda. And I said, no.
Wow.
I said, I cannot talk to you. And I will be talking to this person this week, but it's been a few days because I couldn't do it. So I say no to the big, flashy objects that go past me. I say no. I make priorities. I prioritize my family. Even though they're used to me working, but I work less. Even though I just do it faster.
it's so interesting. I love what you say because for me, like you, I become inspired. I have, there's a lake that I walk around that I love with the most hilarious amount of birds who do the craziest things. And I spend time most days walking around that lake, and I get completely energized by the half an hour or an hour that it takes me to take this walk.
That's amazing.
And I think that what energizes me is being present. I think that's what you were describing. It's being present in as many moments as I can present. And then I'm not tired because I'm present. If I'm present with you, like we're present on this call, I'm present with my daughter or with my husband or with the trees or with the ducks or with the rain, then I feel energized. It's when I'm not present, when I'm here but I'm thinking about there. It's when I'm there and I'm tired but I'm pushing myself to move past it. That's the stuff that really ends up making me exhausted. Or if I'm with people who are very negative and I'm trying to fend off the negativity by surrounding myself with, you know, an invisible shield. But I'm telling you, it takes a lot of energy.
Linda, we are people. Someone said to me something today, and I think it goes for you as well. And this guy, I really like this guy. He said this to me. He said to me, Christina, I was describing him yesterday. My day was a little off. He said, Christina, you're someone who doesn't see obstacles in front of her. And when you meet someone who's putting all the obstacles in front of you because of their experience, because they know, you know, then you remove your core self. Because I think, Linda, you're very similar. You see, oh, my gosh, I can do this. And you throw yourself in something. Like, I throw myself in this process. Like, I can do this. And I see big open roads in front of me. And, yes, there's the obstacles that come. But we are positive. We don't have that negativity. We don't see the obstacles.
No.
And maybe sometimes it's a good thing and sometimes it's not a good thing. But it doesn't matter because we are present. And what you said about being present, I think for me, specifically this year, like I have a million things to do after this interview, but right now I am so present with you. Like we are outside time and space.
You are so present. Yes. No question about it. There's no question about it. My cat keeps coming in the room because I think he likes the sound of your voice. No question about it. Well, I think we have to finish our interview, although it's really clear to me that you and I could probably talk for 12 hours straight, and we still wouldn't run out of things to say, and I really look forward to doing that. But I think that I was given the mandate to do this for, I don't know, 35, 45 minutes. And I think we might have come to the end of our time at this particular moment. But how do you feel? Do you think we've said what you wanted to say?
Yes, I think we have. And I think if people are going to take one or two things from this, is that if you're still alive and your heart is still beating, go out there and enjoy yourself. Even 5 minutes. And even if you cry afterwards, laughter and crying and tears go together. They're not two separate things. And hope is a great thing and feeling, but changing your life takes action, takes one step in front of the other. Go out there and claim what's already yours. It's waiting for you.
Be in touch with you and to talk with you and to work together on our shared mission, for sure.
Yes, and I think, Linda, I lost you for a few seconds.
Oh, I just said I'm so grateful to know you, to be inspired by you, and to work together on our shared mission. I'm very, very inspired.
I am so excited, Linda, as well. And this was a pleasure and an honor, and thank you for having me, and thank you for inviting me, and I love every single moment with you.
Me too. Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Take care, Linda. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.